Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers. And, Brian, you listened to the debate on NPR?
I did. Well, I didn't have any choice.
Okay.
I was down in southern Missouri, and I'm driving back in a rainstorm, and I was actually kind of glad to have that, to keep my mind occupied while I'm driving in these rural roads, and I can barely see because of the rain.
I think I'd be tempted to, drive off the road or something.
No, it was actually kind of good. It served a purpose to keep my mind off the weather. But, it was quite a debate. We're going to be talking about that later on in the show.
Yes, we will. And got all the clips. And we have a very special guest on the line who's not here to talk about the debate.
That's right.
Talk about the election, how basically Hillary Clinton's emails. He's been on our show before.
Friend of the show,
Matt Whitaker. Of course, I will always know him as a former Iowa Hawkeye football player, but he is also a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Iowa, and he's a partner in a law firm here in Des Moines, Whitaker, Hagenow, and Gustoff, and I don't know, is there anybody else attached to that name, Matt?
Whitaker, Hagenow, Gustoff, and a bunch of other people, but yes.
Okay.
Okay. Is a bunch of other people in the title? I mean,
No.
Okay.
So,
but we might change it. You never know. It's all marketing and branding.
Yeah. But Whitaker, Hagenow, Gustoff, and a bunch of other people. I think that sounds great.
It works for me. Well, Matt, we're happy to have you on the show today. We wanted to talk to you in depth again about some of these matters with respect to the FBI investigation into Hillary's emails and so on and so forth. I want to start off talking about what we found out last week. According to Fox News, last week the FBI said that Director Comey's announcement on July 4th angered and disgusted, shall we say, ticked off members of the investigative team that were involved in that operation. It included 100 FBI agents and analysts and 6 DOJ attorneys. And the quote was from a senior FBI official from Fox News. It is safe to say that the vast majority of this team felt she should be prosecuted. The vast majority. So we got a solid majority that wanted to see her indicted. And then get this, that it was unanimous. So we've got over 100 guys, and it was unanimous that they wanted Hillary Clinton's security clearance yanked. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was just stunned when that came out that Director Comey could still say this is a matter that no federal prosecutor would take up. What do you make of that, Matt?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, and there's a lot to unpack there, but, I think, fundamentally, the people of the FBI, the rank and file agents, the special agents in charge, the resident agents in charge, kind of all the people that when I was U.S. attorney I worked with, I know to be good people, and I know that they want to do justice, and I know that they don't want special rules to apply to the politically powerful, but, let's just be honest with what happened here. What happened was a unique situation where kind of really more than likely the next president of the United States had done some really bad things, some very unethical things, and had not been truthful with the American people about it. And the FBI and the Department of Justice, which appear to be politically influenced by this administration, as you can imagine, use their powers and their discretion to whitewash the behavior. And for those that sort of don't answer to any particular administration or, you know, sort of know that politicians and elections come and go, they're offended. This is not the Department of Justice, right, and the FBI and the way it should operate. So I can understand why they feel that way, and I can understand, why they feel like people went out of their way to make sure that she wasn't prosecuted.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. I mean, most federal government employees are not political appointments, and they're there regardless of who's, you know, in the White House, and especially when it comes to our law enforcement. I can't, you know, when you mentioned that she would be, you know, possibly the next president of the United States, or most likely the next president of the United States, I'm just thinking, if had this not happened, obviously things would have been much, much different, don't you think?
Oh, you know what? I'm not very good at, going back, changing things, and then playing it forward.
Yeah.
You know, everything happens for a reason. I think, you know, if you look at someone like Hillary Clinton and how she has acted her, 30 years in the public eye, you see someone that is very secretive, someone that is sees conspiracies at every turn, and someone that, you know, tries to make sure that her public image is protected and those around her are incredibly loyal. And so, I mean, I can, you know, I think it's hard for me to kind of do any speculation. What I do know is that, this election, will be over, thank goodness, in, several short weeks.
Yes.
I pray, and I literally pray that we don't see another one like this in our lifetimes. But, nonetheless, sort of what does endure is the rule of law and the fact that we are a nation of laws and not men and women. And, and when you have a situation like this where, the professional class felt a crime had been committed and should be prosecuted, and where the political class and the politically powerful don't take that action, I think that undermines and erodes the system of justice we have. And I can see it in my own law practice where, I have clients asking me very difficult questions about why are they prosecuting me when they didn't prosecute Hillary Clinton? And that there's no real good answer to that.
Right. Yeah, and I want to come back to that question a little later, Matt, but just this week, then it was revealed by the FBI that Undersecretary of State Patrick Kennedy apparently, at least allegedly, tried to convince the Bureau to downgrade a classified email in exchange for the State Department sending more FBI agents overseas. Now, the State Department's denying that and said there was no quid pro quo here. But how? Help us out here and tell us how significant it is that this was investigated, and how significant it is that the FBI released these notes. Is this just standard operating procedure, or is this something that ordinarily or is extraordinary in its substance?
Yeah, that's the word I was going to use. Is it's extraordinary that this would happen? But Patrick Kennedy is a political appointment of the Obama administration, and as you can imagine, most of the political appointees in the Obama administration, in the State Department, and in the Department of Justice, were trying desperately to minimize the legal exposure for Hillary Clinton. And, I think Patrick Kennedy rightly recognized that this particular email was very damaging. And if it was reclassified, then, that would obviously take away an argument that somehow, that she mishandled classified information. I've heard mixed accounts as to sort of who first proposed an exchange of a down classification for spots in the Iraqi embassy in Baghdad, but nonetheless, I mean, it's obvious that it happened, and at some point in time, it was determined that it was a really bad suggestion and a bad idea. But I think there's no doubt that there were people within the State Department and within the Department of Justice that were running interference for Hillary Clinton and trying to mitigate her legal exposure. And I mean, it doesn't, it confirms what we probably could have guessed was going on, which is, this was not an honest investigation conducted by, sort of people of good faith.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Matt Whitaker. We're discussing the new news that came out over the last couple weeks about the State Department's potential quid pro quo with the FBI, as well as FBI interview notes that were released, and news that some FBI agents were not happy about the decision to not prosecute Hillary Clinton, or at least not take her security clearance away. I was kind of curious, how would it work to take away a security clearance of a nominee of a presidential nominee of a major Republican or major political party, and then potentially the President of the United States?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because you'd have to give it back, right? I mean,
Matt, I think the word here is unprecedented, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that if you listen very carefully to Jim Comey's kind of testimony, both in the House Oversight Committee and, subsequent explanations, I mean, that is one of the consequences for mishandling classified information. And, I mean, it is, unprecedented, unfathomable, crazy. I mean, there's a lot of words that come to mind, but I mean, this is somebody that right now, believing what the polls are telling us, is going to win the presidency pretty handily.
Oh, they're skewed. They're skewed, Matt. It's rigged.
Yeah, but anyway, nonetheless, it's hard to believe that anybody else except Hillary Clinton would clearly have lost their security clearance without any question. And the fact, it demonstrates that there are two sets of rules, those that apply to everybody else and those that apply to the politically powerful, including Hillary Clinton.
Matt, last time we had you on, it was right after Comey's announcement that there was going to be no indictment. And you mentioned at the time that she's not out of the woods yet. And you had two things that you thought were maybe still forthcoming. First of all, was the Clinton Foundation, that there may indeed still be plenty of goings on there that are prosecutable. And the other thing was, of course, the congressional referral to the FBI about a possibility of perjury by Mrs. Clinton during congressional testimony. Can you give us an update on those two things?
Well, I mean, that, the lying under oath to a congressional committee, I was referred by the committee to the FBI. I have not heard that it's been resolved yet. That could still be a live one. You know, the Clinton Foundation, I'm following it very closely. It's hard to tell what's going on. I thought it was interesting that she was asked about it at the debate the other night. But the bottom line is that there are a lot of interesting relationships, I guess, to be charitable, between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department while she was Secretary of State. And I just think there are people that have a lot more powerful tools than I have to get behind kind of what was going on and who actually was able to get official action taken because of their donations to the Clinton Foundation. So I still think that's an open issue, but it's really hard to tell right now what's going on and whether or not there's a serious investigation into the Clinton Foundation. But there's no doubt that there is an investigation in the lying under oath to Congress, and that's a significant crime in and of itself.
Just want to switch gears a little bit. Have you had a chance to watch those videos by James O'Keefe interviewing several operatives, or somebody was interviewing operatives with the Democratic Party, how they were saying that they instigated, violence at Trump rallies, and even more importantly, I think, is one indicated that they would actually engage in voter fraud, which is totally shocking from a Democratic operative would say something like that. Just kind of confirmed what I've always thought.
No surprise there.
Yeah. So do you think any action will be taken on that? I mean, have you had a chance to see that? What are your impressions?
Yeah, I have not seen the videos. I'm familiar with the the facts and circumstances around it. I mean, there is no doubt that there are groups and people on the left that are, trying to create a narrative. They're much more sophisticated than any groups on the right might be. And you know, there's no doubt that what, you know, what they've tried to do has been pretty effective. I mean, these are the same people that are behind, were behind the Occupy Wall Street, which tried to, you know, undermine, you know, Mitt Romney and mm-hmm. his candidacy. And I mean, this is just, these are the tactics of the left. And, you know, and the media is complicit, as we know, we've seen through the WikiLeaks situation that, you know, the media is, you know, fawns over politicians on the left and helps them and gives them coverage. And, you know, it's an uphill climb for, you know, against sort of those powerful forces. But nonetheless, you know, I believe in the American people. I think they're smarter than, you know, and you know, won't be manipulated ultimately when, you know, sort of when it comes down to, you know, the future of our country. I mean, the system is beautiful. People like Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson and others that built this system understood, you know, how it could self-correct. And, you know, sometimes, you know, sort of you got to go through difficult, challenging times before, you know, sort of the greatness of anything can be revealed. So I'm trusting that ultimately the American people will, you know, we'll see the truth and we'll see what they've been sold over the many years. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, again, I take a very long view of these things. And
Matt, just less than a minute left here. Tell us briefly.
30 seconds, actually.
Where are we at as far as the effect that this all has on Mrs. Clinton? You're going to have to give us just a couple of seconds here.
Yeah, I think ultimately it continues to, people believe that she can't be trusted.
Very true. All right. Thank you so much, Matt. Yeah,
thanks a lot for coming on, Matt.
This is Caffeinated.
Yep, thank you.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about the debate.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So what? Now, we promised you, I know you were sitting on, you know, pins and needles waiting for this, but we're going to talk about the final. Let me emphasize, the final. Presidential debate of 2016. It's basically, that was a, here's my overall thought of the debate. It was probably one of Donald Trump's best ones.
No question.
Yeah, which I have to admit, the bar is really low on that. Okay, so
he gets a couple of points for showing
right.
up. I
mean, not that
it's kind of like when you're in grade school, you take the test,
you spelled your name right,
you put your name at the top of the paper, and you score points.
Right. The second one was you know, I said he was much improved, and the second one compared to the first one was dismal. The first one was horrible. Second one,
so bad.
Was so bad. He did fine. It's just, it was very uncomfortable, and he, you know, that first section, it was just going to be a hard debate for him because of the topics.
Well, it was kind of a food fight too.
Right. This one was much more subdued, at least in the beginning. The winner of the debate, I'd have to say, was Chris Wallace. He did a fabulous job moderating.
Yeah, he did a great
job. I was, the committee on presidential election, presidential debates need to keep him in mind again for future debates. And this was the first time a Fox News personality had moderated a general election debate. So that he did so with, professionalism and... It was definitely, the questioning was definitely different than what, you would typically hear. And I think that's okay, because if you're going to have liberals moderate, you should be able to have a conservative moderate. And he was fair. He was tough.
I don't know that you can say Chris Wallace is distinctively a conservative.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
He just works for Fox News. He's tainted,
The framing of the questions, like instead of gun control, he said, how would you uphold the Second Amendment? How he described abortion was definitely different than if, somebody from CNN or NBC were moderating, I think.
Right. But that speaks to his objectivity, not to the.
I agree. Okay. And, also too, with the way he framed the Supreme Court questions, it was questions that you wouldn't even probably even talk. I'm not even sure they would even covered this as a topic. I was pretty happy they did. We got some clips we want to play. First of all, we want to get probably the, this is.
Well, hang on here, Shane. I want to make an observation about the debate as well.
Okay.
It struck me. I mean, when I was listening to it, I wasn't watching it. I was listening to it on NPR. And at the beginning, I thought to myself, where has this guy been?
Right.
I really appreciated what he was saying. Upholding the Constitution, the Supreme Court, I think abortion. And I thought to myself, wow, he's really doing well. And then...
the wheels come off eventually.
Well, yeah.
He's kind of like the Iowa State Cyclones.
right along here. But he gets into an area that should have been a strength for him, which was the economy.
Right.
And here's where he should have just beat the snot out of her. And instead, he goes on to this, another one of his incoherent rants.
Right.
He's throwing up all of these incomplete sentences and hoping, I guess, that the American people are going to follow what in the world it is he's saying.
Here's the thing, somebody should say you're allotted so much time. This doesn't mean you need to actually use it.
He went from absolutely doing a stellar job to... On a subject that should have been his, in his wheelhouse, absolutely, just digging a hole. It was terrible, and it went downhill from there.
Well, so. Honestly, I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think this debate moves the needle for either candidate.
No,
so call it a toss up,
and that's in spite of all that's being made about this so-called controversy with respect to his. Failure to say he'll accept the results of the election.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Actually, that's the first clip I want to play. Clip number two, please.
You about one last question in this topic. You have been warning at rallies recently that this election is rigged and that Hillary Clinton is in the process of trying to steal it from you. Your running mate, Governor Pence, pledged on Sunday that he and you, his words, will absolutely accept the result of this election. Today, your daughter Ivanka said the same thing. I want to ask you here on the stage tonight, do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad. First of all, the media is so dishonest and so corrupt, and the pile-on is so amazing. The New York Times actually wrote an article about it that they don't even care. It's so dishonest, and they've poisoned the minds of the voters. But unfortunately for them, I think the voters are seeing through it. I think they're going to see through it. We'll find out on November 8th, but I think they're going to see through it.
But, sir, there's
If you look, excuse me, Chris, if you look at your voter rolls, you will see... millions of people that are registered to vote, millions. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Pew Report and other places. millions of people that are registered to vote that shouldn't be registered to vote. So let me just give you one other thing. So I talk about the corrupt media. I talk about the millions of people. Tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged. Because she should never have been allowed to run for the presidency based on what she did with emails and so many other things.
But, sir, there is a tradition in this country. In fact, one of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner, not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Okay, we can. I'll keep you in suspense. Okay. First of all, I want to make it very clear. I actually defended Donald Trump. I was having some back and forth with a reporter at the Des Moines Register, and unfortunately he did not quote me on any of this. He took another thing I sent him and used that as quote, go figure. But then again, Trump was not promoting a coup d'etat. Okay. That's not, let's get that. There's some leftists and some media that are saying he's going to try to rally, you're going to see riots in the streets. You're going to see all sorts of junk go on if there's a close election and Trump loses. Think 2000, think Bush v. Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's totally reasonable. If there are some questions in a toss-up state where the election was really, really close, of course you're going to have some legal challenges. It'd be stupid.
Oh, but Shane, that was different.
Oh, yeah.
That was different. It didn't happen until after the election. And it's different, Shane. Different. Very different.
Very different, yes.
You can't say that's
the same. It was different
same.
Because it was
so bad.
It was
that
different.
Was our
so
guy.
Bad. It was different because it was a Democrat vice president who did it. I know.
That's right. He's our guy.
Yeah.
That's why it's different.
So, admittedly, is Donald Trump inarticulate about these things? Absolutely. That is not how I would have framed my answer. I would have said, hey, look, at the end of the day, yes, because what other choice do I have? We have a constitutional republic. I lost an election if I lost. However, if there are some questionable results, I'm going to challenge that. And at the end of that challenge, if it doesn't go my way, I'm still going to accept it. That's how I would have answered.
Yeah, and this is classic Trump because
right.
he says something in such a fashion as it gets him in a lot of trouble, regardless
right.
of what he intended.
I said, but I'm not going to promise not to sue if I don't have if there's a case there.
That's right.
Because frankly, I think it's irresponsible to the people who supported him not to. If there was something, if there was potential voter fraud, or if it was like in the case of Florida, so close you need to have a recount, and that was questionable, then I think it's reasonable to take some legal action. If this is a blowout, it's not going to matter, and he's going to have to accept it, because you can't get enough, you can't have enough voter fraud to create a complete blowout.
Well, I'll tell you something though, I think if we probably should have done that for the show, is put together an audio montage of all of the stupid rhetoric that was used by the Democrats in 2000,
right
after the election, and all this business about Bush stole the election or the Supreme Court stole the election from the American people. I guarantee you we would hear outrageous audio from those days.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about the debate, and we're, gosh, this segment's going
it's
fast.
Fly by.
I want to play at least two more clips here. There was a good exchange between Trump and Clinton on abortion that I want to play. That's clip three, please.
With what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. Because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate.
Because she never uses
scare rhetoric. You should meet with some of the women that I've met with, women I've known over the course of my life. This is one of the worst possible choices that any woman and her family has to make. And I do not believe the government should be making it. You know, I've had the great honor of traveling across the world on behalf of our country. I've been to countries where governments either forced women to have abortion.
And you know what? That's wrong, too. First of all, her statement about, she goes on to say China got rid of forced abortions, which is absolutely false. They did not. Okay. So she lied there, or at least misinformed. Trump, score one, Trump.
Big time.
Made her look extreme on this subject, which she is.
Yep.
Her position is a minority view. Most Americans, polling has shown time and time and time again, support restrictions on abortion after 3 months. Most countries that allow abortion have restrictions on abortion after 3 months. The United States is very unique in the fact that they allow abortion after 3 months. There are some European nations that don't even do that.
Well, I tell you what, Trump was exactly right with respect to federal law. Now, it can be restricted further by the states, but as far as what the Supreme Court has said on the issue, there's nothing that prevents a state from allowing a third trimester abortions right up into the very end.
Yeah. One more clip. Clip
number 10.
That's
my understanding.
That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
Okay, we can
by
stop
making
there.
Sure.
He said this like twice. All right. He just got done saying how he's very respectful of women. Now, you can think she's a nasty woman. You just don't say that during a debate.
You can't save Donald from himself. That's the big problem with
this
guy.
And you know what? And unfortunately, those two, the answer on whether you accept the elections and this, that's what's driving the media.
Can I just say, however, I think she's a nasty woman, too.
Yeah, well, I agree. This is Caffeinate That's Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141, or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
Straight out of the gate, in our news segment today, we're going to do another audio clip, because this one is absolutely priceless. This is from Fox News, and it's with Megyn Kelly.
She's talking.
Whether the tape was obtained, let me just finish, whether the tape was obtained improperly or not, but no one so far has come out to challenge the legitimacy of these particular tapes put out by James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. In fact, they've acted on them.
Absolutely.
So you say the tapes are falsified?
This is Donna Brazile, by the way, that she's talking
O'Keefe
to.
Mr. O'Keefe enjoys falsifying records. He did it with NPR. He's done it with numerous sources. But Kelly, can I ask you, we're at a presidential debate. And Donald Trump made several ridiculous claims tonight.
I hit Donald Trump's representatives with those, but now I have you. I don't play dodgeball, honey.
I play basketball. And I'm just telling you, he tried to score on misinformation. He's trying to score on information that was obtained illegally. You say that, Donna. You say that you play straight up.
But I have to ask you because you were accused of receiving a debate question before a CNN town hall where they partnered with TV One, and that you had this question on March 12th, that verbatim was provided by Roland Martin to CNN the next day. How did you get that question, Donna?
Well, Kelly, since I play straight up, and I'll play straight up with you, I did not receive any questions from CNN. Let's just be
very
clear.
Where did you get it?
First of all, what information are you providing to me that will allow me to see what you're talking about?
WikiLeaks released a March 12th Podesta email showing you messaging the Clinton campaign with the exact wording of a question asked at the March 13th CNN TV One town hall debate.
Kelly,
where did you get it?
I, as a Christian woman, I understand persecution, but I will not sit here and be persecuted because your information is totally false. What you're telling the American people, I'm getting it from Podesta's email. Podesta's emails were stolen. You're like a thief that want to bring into the night the things that you found that was in the gutter.
Donna, that makes absolutely no sense. Jake Tapper, we could probably stop right there.
Yeah, Jake Tapper of CNN was horrified by this news and said it was totally, he was disappointed. It was totally inappropriate.
I think you can say safely that Megyn Kelly had Donna Brazile on the ropes.
Definitely.
She's talking about the email evidence being illegitimate because, after all, it was hacked.
Yeah.
So we're not going to speak to the truth of the email.
Yeah, whether it's stolen or not, it doesn't matter. Unless she could prove it wasn't actually her email and that wasn't actually Podesta's email accounts, and I've not seen anybody make that credible argument.
Well, what I thought was interesting, this is from the Daily Caller. In the face of all evidence to the contrary, absolutely, MSNBC host Andrea Mitchell claimed on Thursday that allegations that the DNC chair, Donna Brazile, leaked town hall questions to the Clinton campaign have been, quote, completely knocked down, unquote. Really? Really? Completely knocked down? Okay. Well, here's apparently what the emails said. Quote, sometimes I get the questions in advance, Brazile wrote in the March 12th email to the Clinton campaign communications director, Jennifer Palmieri. The email was hacked from the Gmail account of Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta and released subsequently by WikiLeaks. In her email to Palmieri, Brazile included a question about the death penalty, which was asked verbatim, as Megyn Kelly pointed out, verbatim the next day in the CNN TV one town hall. Incredible.
Mm.
But I guess it doesn't matter because these are hacked, these are stolen. So therefore, I don't have to answer to this.
Right, right. So, you know.
Please.
And all this. And they, you know, they wonder why Donald Trump is saying the election's rigged.
Absolutely.
You know, while he shouldn't be off whining about it, they do have some legitimate complaints.
That is exactly right. When you see this kind of stuff, how else are you supposed to respond? All right, next up, Fox News. Just hours after Hillary Clinton dodged a question at the final presidential debate about charges of pay-to-play at the Clinton Foundation, a new batch of WikiLeaks emails surfaced with stunning charges that the candidate herself, that means Hillary, was at the center of negotiating a $12 million commitment from King Mohammed VI of Morocco. One of the more remarkable parts of the charge is that the allegation came from Clinton's loyal aide, Huma Abedin, who described the connection in a January 2015 email exchange with two top advisors to the candidate, John Podesta and Robbie Mook. Abedin wrote that, quote, "This was HRC's idea," unquote, for her to speak at a meeting of the Clinton Global Initiative in Morocco in May of 2015 as an explicit condition for the $12 million commitment from the king. "She created this mess, and she knows it," Abedin wrote to Podesta and Mook. The mess refers in part to the fact that the three Clinton advisors were discussing the possibility of the former Secretary of State pulling out of speaking at the May 2015 event because it was happening 1 month after the official launch of her presidential campaign and could raise more questions about her role at the foundation. You think?
Interesting.
Oh, boy. Okay. This one is from the Kemper County Messenger. I think this is...
Where's that?
I'm thinking this is... Mississippi, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Clowning around.
Oh, gosh. This should be next segment, man.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Clowning around in Kemper County has just become an expensive proposition, at least until November 1st. The Kemper County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved an ordinance during its regular meeting on Monday that makes it unlawful for any person of any age to appear in public in Kemper County in a clown costume, clown mask, or clown makeup. The ordinance was signed into effect by Kemper County Board President Johnny Whitsett at 11:28 a.m. on Monday and expires the day after Halloween. The ordinance is enforceable by the Kemper County Sheriff's Office, and violators can be fined up to $150. Kemper County Sheriff James Moore had asked the board to consider such an ordinance at a previous meeting. "In order for it to be effective, you have to put teeth into it," board attorney Bo Bailey told the board, explaining the fine. "It has really gotten out of hand," Whitsett said, referring to the national situation with people dressing up as clowns. Whitsett and other board members voiced concerns about what the reaction of the public would be if they saw a clown in their yard. "It would not be good," Whitsett said. Moore said he wanted the ordinance to be in place to make it clear that dressing as a clown in public at this time was not acceptable.
Dang it. Dang it. The clowns are being persecuted.
That's right.
Where's
their First Amendment rights?
All the clowns are
rights?
Being punished for the actions of a few.
Where's their First Amendment rights?
There are
free
so
expression.
No, there's so many moderate clowns out there. Instead, they're letting the fundamentalist clowns. Hey,
I tell you what. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio will go on record today. We support you, clowns, in your attempt to hang on to your First Amendment rights, to dress as you see fit, and
right.
if your right to free expression in that dress, including big red noses and stupid white makeup.
And big shoes,
and
oversized
shoes.
And even if we think it's creepy, we still support your
and
right to do it.
We also support McDonald's, even though their fries are occasionally abysmal when they're cold. We support Ronald McDonald on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Absolutely. We'll be back in a moment.
That's unforgivable. Those were the words screamed by a teen angry at the actions of his dad. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The incident with the unforgiving teen took place almost 30 years ago, and I felt myself unequipped to help him walk through forgiveness. Maybe you find yourself where I was back then as a young youth pastor, uncertain as to the practice and power of forgiveness. I knew it was important, but I was clueless as to the helpful steps toward encouraging forgiveness after a serious offense. Since that time, I have benefited from the clear teaching on forgiveness by Peacemaker Ministries. Their 7 A's for a biblical apology and the 4 commitments of forgiveness are remarkable tools. If you're needing more information on forgiveness, why don't you visit our counseling center here in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. That's crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, we had a great Caffeinated Thoughts briefing last weekend, didn't we, Brian?
We did indeed. It was a great event.
We just wanted to thank some people to help make that happen. American Principles Project, who has been a sponsor with us all 3 years. Thank you so much for that, as well as Providence Industrial Electronics Repair.
And they're a three-year sponsor
Sponsor. And your mother, Vera Myers.
Vera Myers. Thanks,
who's never attended, but has been a sponsor all 3 years.
Yeah, bless her heart. Yes. We'll have to get her there sometime and give her a round of applause.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Mother.
The Mission Cup. And, of course, 99.3 FM, The Truth.
Yeah, and you know, the Mission Cup, those are great people, and they make great coffee.
They do, yeah. And we have links to all these folks. If you go to ctbriefing2016.com, be sure to check, you know, other than your mom doesn't have a website, we should create one for her. So just go visit websites. Anyway, we got to move on here. Yeah, thank you, everybody.
I got to put in a thank you real quickly here for my wife, Debbie, who really busted her hump last week trying to make some things happen. She was baking brownies, and she was running back and forth to the airport picking up some of our keynote speakers. And she really made things run smoothly. And so thanks, Debbie. You did a great job. And now we've come to Ron's favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true, because...
You can't make this stuff up!
This is from a newspaper called The Oregonian. A 22-year-old Oregon man has sued an orthodontist for leaving his braces on for 11 years, resulting in straight, but however, rotten teeth.
Wow.
Devin Bost of Portland claims he suffered serious tooth decay and periodontal disease from having worn braces from age 7 to 18 while he lived in Eugene, Oregon. 2 to 3 years is normal for braces. Mm-hmm. Some of Bost's teeth will need to be replaced with implants. Now get this, guys. But others cannot because they have rotted to the jaw.
Wow.
According to his attorney, David Hollander. The lawsuit, that sounds disgusting, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it sounds painful.
The lawsuit states that Bost, whose mother is a medical doctor,
Yes.
It's something that doesn't add up there. She received an urgent phone call in June 2008 from orthodontist Brad, and I don't know if I'm going to say this guy's name correctly, Chivadel's office. That's the orthodontist, Brad Chivadel's office. That he needed to have the braces removed immediately. The paper writes this. As for how Boss could spend most of elementary school and all of middle school and his high school years with braces, Hollander is still trying to sort the details out, especially when the mom is an MD.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. There's some personal responsibility that needs to be involved here. Obviously, the orthodontist is responsible as well, because he should know better. I've had braces. My kids have had braces. If you have them on more than 3 years, I mean, there's always we had to have special toothpaste we use at night just to help prevent, you know, decay. Just mm-hmm. because, you know, because you have metal adhered to your teeth, so, and you're not able to brush underneath that, so you have to take extra special care and brush often. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have problems. 11 years?
Yeah.
There's no reason for braces to be on your teeth for 11 years.
Well, and Hollander is saying we're not really sure what happened. And Bost, meanwhile, is seeking $185,000 in damages.
Yeah. And well, the fact is, mom is a medical doctor and should know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Granted, yes, she's not an orthodontist, but she should know. She should know about basic dental hygiene, and that's not normal.
Yeah, it's like 11 years. Really? Seriously?
Ask some questions, folks.
Send your "You Can't Make This Stuff" ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com, We will give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. I think the third segment story would have been better.
Take care, everybody.
Yep. See you next week.